Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to PGN. You are listening to Prophetic Grace Network. This is Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. You are listening to Dr. Nicole, the Book of Revelation research scientist. I am excited to share with you about the millennial reign prophecy in the Book of Revelation today. Let's get started with talking about the millennial reign prophecy, specifically. What does it say and where is it? It is in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation includes statements of prophecy. They begin with verse 1 of chapter 5 and end with verse 5 of chapter 22. Every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation has a movie trailer in words. In other words, in professional writing, it's referred to as an abstract, but what it is in regular terms is a movie trailer in words. So in the same way that a movie trailer gives us highlights from a longer body of work, the movie in its entirety, when looking at a nonfiction document such as the Book of Revelation, an accurate report of information from start to finish. Every statement of prophecy has a movie trailer in words, and then immediately following the abstract, which is the movie trailer in words, is the statement of prophecy in its entirety. That's important to know because then we understand why it appears that something is being repeated when it was noted several verses earlier. That's because we've moved from seeing just clips to the movie in its entirety. Okay, so let's begin with the movie trailer for the millennial reign prophecy. It includes verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. Reading from the Amplified Bible Classic Edition translation, it says, "Then I saw an angel descending from heaven. He was holding the key of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. And he gripped and overpowered the dragon, that old serpent of primeval times, who is the devil and Satan, and securely bound him for 1,000 years. Then he hurled him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and closed it and sealed it above him, so that he should no longer lead astray and deceive and seduce the nations until the 1,000 years were at an end. After that, he must be liberated for a short time." That's the movie trailer in words for the millennial reign prophecy. What are the key highlights? And then we're going to go into the actual continued discussion, the millennial reign prophecy in its entirety beyond its movie trailer. But what did we learn from the movie trailer? Number one, in verse one, we learned that an angel comes from heaven and that that angel has the key to a physical location, which is named the abyss. The abyss is a bottomless pit. That angel is carrying a chain in his hand. Then, in verse 2 of chapter 20, we learn that the angel into a physical altercation with Satan. Specifically, what happens? The angel not only grips Satan, but overpowers Satan. And what does the angel do? The angel takes that chain that the angel came with from heaven, and binds Satan. This is a physical thing that is happening. Satan as a physical entity exists on the earth at this time. The angel binds Satan. And where does he bind Satan? In the abyss, which is a bottomless pit, and with the chain. We learned in verse 2 that Satan is bound in this physical location for 1,000 years. So in this 1,000 years, this entire prophecy is what is happening during the 1,000 years that begin with the second coming of Jesus Christ. In verse 3 of the movie trailer, we learned that the place where Satan is confined, the bottomless pit, was closed once he was chained up in it and sealed. So the bottomless pit, the abyss, is closed and sealed, and we're given the reason why. So that Satan would not have any access to the nations that exist on the earth. So beyond the second coming, which includes the first resurrection and the battle of Armageddon, the nations continue. So nations are permitted to continue under the leadership, the rulership, the government of Jesus Christ. And we're told in the movie trailer and words in verse 3 that he was bound so that he would not have access and be able to lead astray and deceive and seduce the nations until the 1,000 years were added in. In other words, if Satan is loose, he's going to do what he does. And what does he do? He seduces, he deceives, and he leads astray the people of the earth. So to prevent that, he is bound for 1,000 years. And it's noted at the end of the abstract, verse 3 of chapter 20, after that, and that is 1,000 years, he must be liberated for a short time. So the short time is once the 1,000 years have ended. Okay, so we have a very good picture of what the millennial reign prophecy is about. We have heard the movie trailer in words for the millennial reign prophecy, and now it's time to get into the continued discussion of the millennial reign prophecy. By the way, this format that is used in the book of Revelation is the format used for the highest level of scholarship that exists in the 21st century. That's the scientific peer-reviewed journal. I was exceedingly surprised to see that that format is not limited to what research scientists, medical doctors, and others utilize, but God, in his wisdom, the most creative, intelligent, exciting entity, person, as Jesus Christ, God manifests in the flesh that exists, has given us this. Okay. Now it's time to go from the movie trailer to the movie in its entirety. The Millennial Reign Prophecy, beyond its movie trailer, begins with verse 4 of chapter 20 and ends with verse 10. So before the Millennial Reign Prophecy is the Marriage Supper Prophecy, which is in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, and after the Millennial Reign Prophecy is the Dead Judged Prophecy. Let's start with all five scenes. I want to give a quick overview of what we're going to see in the Millennial Reign Prophecy so we have a way to make sense of and just get a picture of what are we going to be hearing and thinking about and understanding. My perception is that the Millennial Reign Prophecy is presented with five scenes, which we will see and hear shortly. In scene one, John shows us a picture of two of the groups of people who will live during the millennial reign. Then in scene two, the reality of these dead individuals living again on this present earth plane as having happened with the first resurrection. In scene two, it's noted that all of the dead who did not make the first resurrection will live again, but not until the 1,000 years are completed. Then, in the third of five scenes in the millennial reign prophecy, John announces that also, after 1,000 years have passed, Satan will be released from the abyss. Now remember, we're in the movie in its entirety in words. We're in the continued discussion of the millennial reign prophecy. So we've already heard about Satan being released after 1,000 years in the movie trailer. But now we're in the movie, so we get the scene, not just a short clip of it, but we get it in more detail with more description and more information. Okay, so in scene three, John announces that also after 1,000 years have passed, Satan will be released from the abyss, which is the bottomless pit that has been closed and sealed above him. A second thing that happens in scene three is that John communicates that Satan will deceive at that time the nations of the earth and convince them to go to war with him. Finally, in scene four, right before the last scene, John explains that Satan and those who follow him, who are many, come to Jerusalem, but there is no war. God calls down fire from heaven to consume Satan and all his human followers. Finally, in scene five, John reports how God destroys enemy number three, Satan, by putting him to the second death. Now, this is important. I've shared in earlier programs, and if you're a first-time listener, I want to share with you and those who have been listening and with us in earlier shows, we are all in hope and expectation of the time where the marriage of the Lamb will happen. This is the first resurrection, and we are excited for God to establish his government on this earth with all of the saints, three in one. Every person who died in Christ currently resides in heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those who died in Christ. They are disembodied spirits, but have had perfect continuity of life. The same soul, mind, will, and emotions, the same spirit dwelling in heaven, and they are awaiting the opportunity, the timing, the appointed time when they will put on their incorruptible bodies, their glorified bodies, their perfected bodies, and we who will be here on the earth at the time of the second coming, we are looking forward to the time where we will transition from our mortal bodies to our immortal bodies, our incorruptible bodies. And so this millennial reign begins. It begins with the second coming of Jesus Christ, the marriage of the Lamb, which we discussed, the marriage supper prophecy and the marriage of the Lamb, every show, every Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish in July of 2022 is about that statement of prophecy. If you haven't had a chance to listen, I encourage you to go to blogtalkradio.com and you can look in the archives. Every show is there. You can pull it up on Apple Podcasts or on Blog Talk Radio. And so after the marriage of the Lamb, there's the Battle of Armageddon, and the government of Jesus Christ begins. Jesus Christ begins his ruling and reigning with the second coming. Let's continue to find out and see what's in each of the five scenes that I mentioned earlier. Let's start with scene one. I shared that this is the first scene in the continued discussion of the Millennial Reign Prophecy. Reading from the Amplified Bible Classic Edition translation, it says, this is John talking, "Then I saw thrones, and sitting on them were those to whom authority to act as judges and to pass sentence was entrusted." So that's group number one. John was shown two groups that will be present during the millennial reign. This doesn't necessarily mean these are the only groups, but he's shown two groups, and he's sharing that picture with us here. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been slain with axes, beheaded for their witnessing to Jesus and for preaching and testifying for the word of God, and who had refused to pay homage to the beast or his statue and had not accepted his mark or permitted it to be stamped on their foreheads or on their hands. So John specifically identifies two groups of people. Now, this is not an exhaustive list of all groups of individuals who will be present during the millennial reign of Christ. But why specifically was John shown these two groups? I can't say for sure why, but I can share what my perception is. When you look at the statements of prophecy, which using words from the Bible to name these statements of prophecy, words from the book of Revelation, we have the seven seals prophecy, followed by the seven trumpets prophecy, the 1,260 days prophecy, the 666 Antichrist prophecy, the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, the earth reaped prophecy, just in order of their appearance, then the seven plagues prophecy, the purple and scarlet prophecy, the marriage supper prophecy, and then the 10th statement of prophecy, the millennial reign prophecy. So why does John talk about these two groups specifically? The 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. So that's how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are 7 of 12 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation that are exclusively focused on events that happen during the Great Tribulation. They are exclusively focused on those events. And so for those people and those events that are discussed, God is continuing in this millennial reign prophecy to communicate, well, what happened with respect to all those individuals who participated in the Great Tribulation? Well, what's the outcome for them? Where do they end up? And so group number two that John identifies in scene number one, I saw the souls of those who had been slain with axes, beheaded for their witnessing to Jesus and for preaching and testifying for the word of God, and who had refused to pay homage to the beast or his statue and had not accepted his mark or permitted it to be stamped on their foreheads or on their hands. So in other words, this is a statement of prophecy that includes consolations. So what's a statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation? It's language that includes predictions, consolations, and admonitions. So a prediction specifically reports of future events, future relative to the time at which they were written by John. Consolations, words designed to provide hope in the context of distressing information. And finally, admonitions, warnings. So that's what a statement of prophecy is. It includes one, two, or all three of those elements, predictions, consolations, and admonitions. That's defined for us in Revelation chapter 22. And so here, for those who participate in the Great Tribulation, the saints that participate, what happens to them is picked up in this prophecy. Now, what about group number one? Group number one, those to whom authority to act as judges and to pass sentence was entrusted. They're sitting on thrones. So this is communicating that with the establishment of the kingdom, there's a new government. And so when you think about government, in some nations there's a prime minister. In the United States of America, where I am located, we have a president and a vice president, and we have three branches of government. And so we learn in Isaiah, for to us a child is given, for to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Take home point from Isaiah, the government shall be upon his shoulders. So what does that mean, government? How will the earth be run? What will be the design of the government? So here we're shown that there are those who will be endowed with authority. Now, who's giving them this authority? Jesus Christ. And specifically, they're given authority to act as judges and to pass sentence. Now, this is very interesting because in the next statement of prophecy, the dead judged prophecy, it talks about the sentencing of those who participate in the second resurrection. But let's stay where we are. So acting as a judge and passing sentence, that's part of what individuals in the government established by Jesus Christ will do. And so these two groups of people are identified. This is not an exhaustive list of who will be present on the earth during the millennial reign, but specifically John is shown in a vision two groups of people. So those who will participate in the government of Jesus Christ as judges, they'll be endowed with the authority of Jesus Christ, and those who died during the Great Tribulation, those who died in Christ during the Great Tribulation. Let's go to scene number two. So what happens in scene number two? Recall that I shared that this is a scene where the reality of these dead individuals living again on this present earth is explained as having happened with the first resurrection. So we are moving towards a new earth in which God's new order will exist. Right now, we're in the former order of things, the counterfeit to God's new order is the new world order. The new world order is the order that Satan wishes to establish on this earth. It is a counterfeit. In reality, what is true, what is genuine, what is of God is God's new order. That new order includes a new earth, and on that new earth, all members of the royal race, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who are alive at the time of the second coming and those who are disembodied in heaven awaiting the second coming, all, both groups, we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ on the new earth. Now, there is a transition period to the new earth. Specifically, God has five enemies that he will destroy in order to prepare for the new earth. These five enemies will be destroyed, and upon the destruction of the fifth and final enemy, which is death, God transitions this corrupted and corruptible earth to a perfected new earth in the same way that we transition from our corruptible mortal bodies to an incorruptible, perfected, glorified body. And so, in this millennial reign prophecy, we get a report of God destroying, just in order of their destruction, the third enemy, which is Satan. In the marriage supper prophecy, we learned how God destroys this. We're talking about not hurting, not confining, but literally destroying the Antichrist and the false prophet. That's in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. There's a report. We learned how God destroys the Antichrist and the false prophet. And here, in the millennial reign prophecy, we're learning how God will destroy the, just in order of their, the appearance of their destruction in linear time, how God will destroy Satan. So in the second scene, the reality of these dead individuals living again on this present earth, so not the new earth, before we can get to the new earth, God is enacting his strategic plan, taking out his five enemies. Who are God's five enemies, by the way? I've said it many times before, but just so we're all on the same page, in the order that God takes them out, number one, the Antichrist. Number two, the false prophet. They are destroyed at the Battle of Armageddon. It's reported in the marriage supper prophecy. Number three, the devil. We will see his destruction in his millennial reign prophecy. Number four, every person who has pledged allegiance to the devil, who has rejected God, who is not in right standing with God, whose name does not appear in the Lamb's Book of Life, is destroyed. And number five, death. One of my favorite scriptures. I don't know that it's my favorite scripture, but it's in the top three. One of my favorite scriptures is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. Reading from the Contemporary English Version translation of the Bible, it says, "And the last enemy he destroys will be death." That happens in the dead judged prophecy, which follows this millennial reign prophecy at the end of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. Okay, so in the second scene we're about to hear in the millennial reign prophecy, it's also noted that all of the dead who did not make the first resurrection will live again, but not until the 1,000 years are completed. So there are two resurrections. Every person, with the exception of the Antichrist and the false prophet, every person who has died, every person who has experienced the first death, which the Bible repeatedly says more than a dozen times, to die is simply to fall asleep. That language is used over and over again in the Bible. Why? Why? Death seems permanent. Death seems final. It is not. The first death is actually a pseudo-death. It's a fake death because every person, with the exception of the Antichrist and false prophet, who are put to the second death at the Battle of Armageddon, every other human being will be restored to life again, either at the time of the marriage of the Lamb, which is the first resurrection, or at the time of the great white throne judgment. Now, we're going to see that explained in this millennial reign prophecy in scene number two. Let's get to it. So picking up where we left off, scene number two of the millennial reign prophecy begins with verse 5 of chapter 20, and it ends with verse 6. I'm reading now from the Amplified Bible Classic Edition translation. Actually, I'm going to start at the end of verse 4, then pick up with verse 5 and verse 6. It says, "And they lived again and ruled with Christ the Messiah 1,000 years. So who's they? They refers to the two groups of individuals identified in scene number one. So every person, every saint who experienced the first death during the Great Tribulation, and every person who's in the government of Jesus Christ as a judge, endowed with the authority to act as a judge and to pass sentences. So these individuals, so remember, two groups are identified, but that doesn't mean that there aren't other groups, but this millennial reign prophecy is specifically focused on these two groups and Satan. It says, "And they lived again and ruled with Christ the Messiah 1,000 years. So again, we heard 1,000, that's where we get the word millennial from. I went back and forth with whether I should refer to this as the 1,000 years prophecy or the millennial reign prophecy, because so many people are already familiar with this and call it the millennial reign prophecy. I am calling it that, but if I just focused on my way of thinking about it, I'd refer to it as the millennial reign prophecy, as the 1,000 years prophecy, instead of the millennial reign prophecy. Okay, what else does it say? This is the first resurrection. It says that in verse 5. This is the first resurrection. It also says in verse 6, "Blessed, happy to be envied, and holy, spiritually whole of unimpaired innocence and proved virtue is the person who takes part, shares in the first resurrection. Over them, the second death exerts no power or authority, but they shall be ministers of God and of Christ the Messiah, and they shall rule along with him 1,000 years. So this includes everyone. So we learned a lot of important things here. And it also says, by the way, in verse 5, it says, "The remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed." That's kind of thrown in there, but that's important information. That's giving us a heads up for the statement of prophecy that follows the millennial reign prophecy, the 1,000 years prophecy, which is the dead judged prophecy. So the remainder of the dead do live again. So where are they now? They are in Hades. We learned that in the dead judged prophecy. When a person dies, we're all three in one, body, spirit, and soul. The person's spirit and soul has perfect continuity of existence and either goes physically in spirit form with the soul intact, the mind, will, and emotions of the individual. That person either goes to heaven and is present with God in heaven, which is a temporary location until the marriage of the Lamb, the first resurrection. If a person doesn't make the first resurrection, the person makes the second resurrection. But again, as it says in verse 5 of chapter 20, the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. You might say, well, research scientists, you said that he was talking about two groups of people. Yes, he was shown two groups of people in scene one, but in scene two, there's a larger picture that is drawn, and specifically, we are told blessed, happy to be envied, and holy, spiritually whole, of unimpaired innocence and proved virtue is the person who takes part, shares in the first resurrection. So the first resurrection is not limited to individuals who live during the time of the Great Tribulation. It includes every person's name who's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So every person who participated in God's plan of salvation that existed at the time that the individual dwelled on this earth. For every person hearing my voice, our plan of salvation is noted in Acts 2:38. You couldn't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ before he died on the cross for you. So there was a different plan of salvation for Abraham. There's a different plan of salvation for Noah. There's a different plan of salvation. You know, we could go on and on. But with respect to you and with respect to me, what does it mean? Where are we in the millennial reign prophecy? We are right here in verse 6 where it says, blessed is the person who takes part, shares in the first resurrection. Over them, the second death exerts no power or authority. Let's talk about the second death. So what is the second death? I'm so excited about the second death because when the enemies of God are destroyed, God transitions us from the current order of things to God's new order. What's God's new order? It's revealed in Revelation 21, the New Earth prophecy. It's revealed God's new order is no more death, no more anguish, no more sorrow, no more mourning, no more grief, no more pain. And it says in verse 4 of chapter 21, for the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away. I'm excited for no more pain. I'm excited for the day when we will live on the new earth and there's no more suffering. The day when we will live on the earth and we will live in a perfect body that will never, ever get cancer, never get Alzheimer's, never suffer from mental torment and distress. Our knees will never hurt. We can run like the wind. We will live forever and ever. That day begins with the millennial reign, but the millennial reign is a transition period. Its purpose is to end human existence and to begin the eternities of eternities with all members of the royal race who have been reaped from the earth. That's the harvest of the wheat. Being with our God, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, and with God the Father, on a physical earth, the new earth. In order for that to happen, every evil thing, every evil person must be destroyed because God is a God of perfection. In him there is no darkness, and God the Father cannot transition from his abode in heaven to making his abode on earth until the new earth is here. And so, what is the second death? It is God's strategy for destroying all evil individuals and every evil thing. And so when the Antichrist and the false prophet at the time of the Battle of Armageddon are hurled into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone, that is the second death, and it's permanent. They are there forever and ever. Now, for those of us who participate in the first resurrection, we are at that point, we are experiencing everlasting life. We begin everlasting life 3-in-1. In other words, our body, spirit, and soul. God's perfect plan for our life is to be embodied in a tangible, perfected, glorified, immortal body on this earth. And that begins with the first resurrection. Now, to live in heaven is awesome. To live in heaven is awesome. But it's not God's final. It's not his final location for you and for me. The new earth is the final location. It's the highest plan that exists in the Bible for all members of the royal race. The culmination of the Bible is the book of Revelation, and the very last statement of prophecy in the book is about the new earth. So in this millennial reign prophecy, we are two prophecies away from the new earth. And so this second death, it says in scene 2, in verse 6, over them, talking about every person who participates in the first resurrection, where we put on our immortal, incorruptible, glorified, perfected bodies that we will have forever and ever, beginning with the marriage of the Lamb at the time of the second coming, continuing through the millennial reign and beyond into the time of the new earth. This second death, the fiery lakes that burns with brimstone, exerts no power or authority over us. And so we are in the age of the former order of things where death can exist, but Jesus Christ has the keys to Hades and death, and he obtained them when he died on the cross, when Satan overstepped his authority. The soul that sinneth shall die, but Jesus Christ never sinned. And so he tricked Satan into killing him so that we are now under the law of grace, and we are redeemed through the plan of salvation. We can escape death. We can have eternal life on this earth. That's God's perfect plan. And every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will participate in the first resurrection. Let's continue. Now, what else does it say in verse 6? About every person who participates in the first resurrection, it says, they shall be ministers of God and of Christ the Messiah, and they shall rule along with him 1,000 years. So what does that mean? Participation in the government. So think about how many people exist on this earth and how many roles exist to have us have an orderly society. Here where I live, there are council members of counties, and there are mayors, and there's a county executive, and there's a governor, and there's so many roles. And we aren't told specifically all the roles that will exist, the specific titles for every person who participates in the government of Jesus Christ. But we know from Isaiah 9 that the government will be on his shoulders. And we also know that to his government there will be no end. Okay, let's continue. Let's go to scene 3. Of the millennial reign prophecy. What happens in scene 3? Recall that I mentioned that John announces two things. Number one, after 1,000 years have passed, Satan will be released from the abyss, which is the bottomless pit that's been closed and sealed above him. And then the second thing that John is going to announce in the scene we're about to hear in the millennial reign prophecy is that Satan will deceive at that time. When he's released after 1,000 years, he will deceive the nations of the earth and convince them to go to war with him. So scene 3 is simply an announcement. Let's hear it picking up where we left off, verses 7 and 8 of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. It says, And when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his place of confinement, and he will go forth to deceive and seduce and lead astray the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to muster them for war. Their number is like the sand of the sea. This is very interesting. So we learn that when Satan is released, so he's been chained up for 1,000 years in that bottomless pit. The chain is taken off of Satan. The bottomless pit has been unsealed and opened. What does he do? He immediately does what he's been doing. This is how he acts. This is who he is. He leads astray the nations. The nations will be permitted to continue beyond the second coming of Jesus Christ, but their thrones will be put down. Now, Babylon the Great, which is discussed in the Purple and Scarlet Prophecy, that city is destroyed and is not permitted to continue. But we learn here that the nations are permitted to continue. And what happens? Satan deceives and seduces individuals in those nations, and he musters them for war. This is very interesting because I have shared before, we discussed when talking about the marriage supper prophecy that the Battle of Armageddon, also known as the Seventh Trumpet War, is the war to end all wars. There will never be another war on this earth after the Battle of Armageddon, which is fought after the first resurrection, as discussed in the marriage supper prophecy, fought and won by Jesus Christ and his troops. Nonetheless, Satan has persuaded humans on the earth, and there are many of them. How many are there? It says their number is like the sand of the sea. Now, who can count the sand of the sea? That's a lot of people. So we see that humanity will have grown to the point of many people, maybe hundreds of thousands or millions or tens of millions or even billions. I don't know how many, but we're told here that their number is like the sand of the sea. That's how many people Satan has deceived across this 1,000 years. Now think about this. You might ask, well, who are these people? So we're told when we are with the Lord, when the marriage of the Lamb happens with the first resurrection, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we put on our immortal, incorruptible, perfected, glorified bodies. Can we take it off? I believe the answer to that question is no, because we're told that those who participate in the first resurrection, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so then that brings us to the question, well, who are these people who are deceived? What is the age of accountability? That's a question for us to consider. Another question is, if a person is a child and the person hasn't taken the mark of the beast during the Great Tribulation because maybe a child doesn't need to buy and sell, right? A child can get what he or she needs from a parent or a relative, whoever the person in charge of the child is. So I don't know from this statement of prophecy specifically who these humans are. In other words, I have ideas about them. We aren't told specifically in this statement of prophecy who in these nations are led astray, but we know that the nations are ruled by those of us who are members of the royal race. In other words, every person who participated in the first resurrection is appointed a role in the government of Jesus Christ. You say, well, wait a minute, you said so many things there. Where is that? Let's go back to where it says, they shall be ministers of God and of Christ the Messiah, and they shall rule along with him 1,000 years. That's verse 6. Well, if you're ruling, you have to rule over something and someone. We're not just ruling over plants and animals. We're ruling over people. These people, whoever they are not members of the royal race. In other words, they are not immortals. They are mortals. And so because they are mortals, that means that death still exists on the earth. The millennial reign is the beginning of God's kingdom on the earth, but it is a transition period. Death has not yet been destroyed. The purposes of the millennial reign are to, number one, destroy Satan finally and forever, and to prepare for the sentencing, the judgment of all individuals who have died not in Christ. All individuals whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, so in this scene, scene number 3, verses 7 and 8, we see that Satan has a lot of people. I don't know, again, it says their numbers like the sand of the sea. That seems like millions or billions, but I don't know for sure what the number is. But he has persuaded these human beings, and they're in all four quarters of the earth, that we are going to go to war. We need to go to war. He has persuaded them. They are deceived. Okay, and then let's go to scene number 4, the fourth of five scene, what happens? In scene 4, we're about to hear where John tells us that Satan and those who followed him have come to Jerusalem and to where the saints are, but there is no war. In fact, God calls down fire from heaven to consume Satan and all his human followers. Now, this is very interesting. I've shared with you that we have the reality of God's greatness and his acts, and then we have the counterfeit from Satan. God calls down fire to consume Satan. And that is a bona fide miracle that happens through the power of God. Fire literally descends from heaven. We're about to hear that in scene 4. Now, have you heard that before? Fire descending from heaven. The false prophet will call down fire from heaven inspired by the power of Satan. It is a real miracle, but it's a counterfeit because it's not inspired by the power of God, through the power of God, in alignment with God's plan. It happens through the power of Satan, in alignment with Satan's plan, and is in fact a counterfeit. Satan wants to be God. He will inspire the Antichrist to stand in the new temple that's going to be built in Jerusalem, the third temple, and inspired by Satan, the Antichrist will report that he is God. Inspired by Satan, the false prophet will call down fire from heaven, and people will say, oh my gosh, who can call down fire from heaven? This has to be a true man of God. No. The false prophet is a false man and is of Satan. So let us see the real miracle of fire being called from heaven in scene four, and the purposes of God using that miracle, and that purpose is to destroy Satan. God taking out number three of five enemies. All five enemies of God must be destroyed so that we can get to the new earth. Okay, picking up where we left off, scene four, which is verse 9 of chapter 20. And they, talking about Satan and all of those who he has mustered to go to war with him, they think they're going to a war. They think they're about to take out Jesus Christ and the saints. Verse 9 says, and they swarmed up over the broad plain of the earth and encircled the fortress camp of God's people, the saints, and the beloved city. So you see, Jerusalem will be attacked again. So not only is Jerusalem attacked at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, but again it's attacked after Jesus Christ has ruled and reigned on this present earth for 1,000 years. Climate change will not destroy the earth. Jesus Christ will return to this present earth, this corruptible, corrupted earth, which will ultimately be transitioned to a perfected new earth. But right now, we're going to be, during this millennial reign, on this present earth, they're mustered there for war at the camp of God's people and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem, present Jerusalem. Now what happens? At the end of verse 9, it says, but fire descended from heaven and consumed them. So in fact, Satan is a liar. There is no war. They don't take Jesus Christ down. They don't take back the temple. They don't kill any saints. None of that happens. In fact, there's no war at all. God says we are at the end of Satan's opportunity to deceive the people of the earth. He has served his purposes. His time is up. And God simply calls down fire from heaven, and it consumes Satan and all of the humans that followed him. And it says that their number was like the sands of the sea. So that might be, again, thousands, millions, or billions of people. They experienced the first death. So this is the end. At this point, when they are consumed, there is no human being on the earth who... Let me pause there. Okay, let's go to the fifth and final scene. What happens? How does this all end? In the fifth and final scene of the millennial reign prophecy, John reports how God destroys Satan by putting him to the second death. Now, in verse 14 of chapter 20, in the dead judge prophecy, it says, this is the second death, the lake of fire. And let's go back to how the second death is a battle strategy of God. It is God's mechanism for destroying every person and everything that is evil. That is God's strategy for removing every evil thing and person from the earth. The second death. Now, don't be frightened by that, because remember, we're told in verse 6 of the millennial reign prophecy, verse 6 of chapter 20, blessed, happy to be envied and holy, spiritually whole of unimpaired innocence and proved virtue is the person who takes part, shares in the first resurrection. Over them, the second death exerts no power or authority. Okay, so here is scene five. The final verse in the millennial reign prophecy says, Then the devil, who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone, where the beast and false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever, through the ages of ages. That is the end of the millennial reign prophecy. So that we're on the same page, let's go back. The destruction of the first two enemies. In verse 20 of chapter 19, in the marriage supper prophecy, it says, talking about the battle of Armageddon and the beast, that's the Antichrist. In verse 20 of chapter 19, and the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet, who in his presence had worked wonders and performed miracles by which he led astray those who had accepted or permitted to be placed upon them the stamp mark of the beast, and those who paid homage and gave divine honors to his statue. Both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. So that is the second death. The second death is defined in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. This is the second death, the lake of fire. So the Antichrist and the false prophet are put to the second death during the Battle of Armageddon. And now, 1,000 years later, it says in verse 10, at the end of the millennial reign prophecy, then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake. Now, this is the second death, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone where the beast and false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever through the ages of the ages. So that is the millennial reign prophecy. For the sake of completeness, let's briefly talk about what happens after this. After the millennial reign prophecy, there are two statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. There's the dead judged prophecy and the new earth prophecy. So as I shared earlier, the millennial reign is a transition period. It is bringing to a conclusion the former order of things. In this former order of things, right now, Satan is the prince of the world, and he has dominion. At the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ will take dominion, and his kingdom on the earth will begin. Immediately, Jesus Christ takes out the Antichrist and the false prophet. 1,000 years during this millennial reign that we discussed today, many different things happen. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is destroyed with the second death. And then what happens? The dead judged prophecy, which appears at the end of Revelation chapter 20, this is when the second resurrection happens. Now, note that we mentioned earlier that in verse 5, in the second scene of the millennial reign prophecy, it says the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. So who does that include, the remainder of the dead? Every person, with the exception of the Antichrist and the false prophet, who we know are put to death, they go to the second death, the permanent death, the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. They go to the second death at the time of their defeat during the Battle of Armageddon. But every other person who has died up until that point goes as a disembodied spirit to Hades, a physical location, specifically that is Hades. They have perfect continuity of life as a disembodied spirit with the same soul, mind, will, and emotions. There are other mortals who will dwell on the earth during the millennial reign. Now, those individuals, and you say, well, how do we know there are other mortals that dwell? Because they are seduced and deceived by Satan. And those who are members of the royal race, we're told, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We have a perfected, glorified body that will never, ever, ever perish. And so those, the thousands or millions and billions who follow Satan, thinking they're going to war, they arrive at Jerusalem to take out Jesus Christ and the saints, and they fail. And not only is Satan destroyed, Satan is put to the second death, but those individuals now go to Hades. In other words, they experience the first death. How do we know that? Because immediately following the millennial reign prophecy, we have the dead judged prophecy. And we were told in the millennial reign prophecy that in verse 5, the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. And so every person will be restored to life again, either to everlasting life with Jesus Christ on this present earth and the new earth to come, or the individual will be restored to life again at the end of the millennial reign for the great white throne judgment. And so you want to make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because there's no such thing as I'm going to spend eternity on Mars, or I'm going to spend eternity hovering over the earth, or I'm going to spend, or there's nothing after death. There's everything after death. Life continues forever and ever. The question is, where will you continue beyond the first death? Will you continue? Will you be restored to life again? And will you continue on this present earth and beyond onto the new earth? Or will you be continuing in Hades? So there's a temporary location. There's a group of us, I believe that we're in that age where some of us will never experience the first death. Those who are in Christ at the time of the second coming will transition from a mortal body rising up to meet Jesus in the sky in our immortal bodies. But for those who are not in Christ, every person who experiences the first death, every person who rejected God's plan of salvation that existed at the time the individual lived on the earth, goes to Hades as a disembodied spirit. And in the dead judged prophecy described in verses 11 to 15 of chapter 20, it's explained what happens when they are restored to life again. So we're told in the millennial reign prophecy what happens to every person who participates in the first resurrection, what we are doing when we are restored to life again. And then in the dead judged prophecy, there is a description, a report, an accurate report of what happens when those individuals whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are restored to life again. By the way, for the purposes of completeness, I want to share briefly how the final enemies of God, enemy number 4 and enemy number 5, are taken out. So I've shared today, Antichrist and false prophet taken out with the second death at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. That's reported in verse 19 of chapter 20. It says, both of them, talking about the Antichrist and false prophet, were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. Earlier in the verse it says, and the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet. And then at the end of that verse it says, both of them, talking about the beast, the Antichrist and false prophet, both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. And then in this millennial reign prophecy, we learned in verse 10, then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone, where the beast and false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever through the ages of the ages. So all three have experienced the second death. They are destroyed. The second death is God's strategy for destroying every evil thing and every evil person. Now, I said there are five enemies of God that he will destroy. And upon the destruction of the fifth and final enemy, we transition from the former order of things to God's new order. And why are we excited about that? Because God's new order will exist on the new earth, the perfected version of this earth, and in it, death shall be no more. I'm reading from verse 4 of chapter 21. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be anguish, sorrow, and mourning, nor grief, nor pain anymore, for the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away. And so we're getting to that new order, the new earth. But first, what about every person who has pledged allegiance to Satan, every person who has rejected God, every person who is not in right standing with God? In the dead judged prophecy, it says in verse 15 of chapter 20, and if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. At the beginning of the dead judged prophecy, it says, then I saw a great white throne and the one who was seated upon it, from whose presence and from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, great and small, stood before the throne and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged. And then finally at the end it says, and if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. So every person who has rejected a God and who is team Satan, so these are people who took the mark of the beast and they were destroyed at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. These are individuals who rejected God's plan of salvation during the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. These are people who rejected God's plan of salvation during the millennial reign. So this is every person whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all who experienced the first death. And so where did these people come from? They were in Hades, the physical location for every disembodied spirit who's not in Christ. The counterpart is heaven. That's the location for every disembodied spirit who is in Christ. But with the first resurrection, all who have died in Christ put on a perfected, glorified, incorruptible, immortal body and are now on this earth. So first, heaven as a storage tank, as Prophet Randy has shared many times, heaven as a storage tank is emptied. By emptied, we mean that every disembodied spirit in heaven, every saint participates in the first resurrection and is on this present earth during the millennial reign. Now, who and what is the fifth enemy? Remember I shared earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 26, and the last enemy he destroys will be death. I love that scripture. Let's hear it again. And the last enemy he destroys will be death. Well, when does he destroy death? He destroys death during the great white throne judgment. And here it is, in the dead judged prophecy, in verse 14 of Revelation 20, it says, then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence,
were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and we know that the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. Now, why does God say the last enemy he destroys will be death? Because there are no more enemies at the conclusion of the great white throne judgment. And therefore, from the conclusion of the great white throne judgment, we go to the new earth. We go to that period where there is no more death, no more sorrow, no more mourning, no more grief, no more pain. And the former order of things have passed away, and we are in God's new order. That's what we look forward to, not the new world order, which is Satan's counterfeit, Satan's plan for rulership of the earth. But God has a wonderful plan, and that is God's new order on the new earth. So whatever you do, make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, why do you want to make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Now, you get to decide. You get to decide, do you want to have continuity of existence as a disembodied spirit in heaven? Or do you want to have continuity of existence as a disembodied spirit in Hades? Now, what's the trajectory of those decisions? So for the individual who rejects God's plan of salvation, so for every person hearing this, God's plan of salvation for us is noted in Acts 2:38. Repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you say, I don't want to follow that. So then, if you choose not to do that, then what happens is when you die, you go as a disembodied spirit to Hades. Now, how do you know that? In verse 14 of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, it says, Hades, death in Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence. And also in the book of Revelation, Hades is noted as the place of departed spirits. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, it says, and I heard every created thing in heaven and on earth and under the earth in Hades, the place of departed spirits. So Hades is the physical location where disembodied spirits, individuals, with the same, their same soul, that means their same mind, will, and emotions, their same spirit, they have perfect continuity of life absent from God in Hades. Now, what happens then? If your decision is to reject God's plan of salvation, when you die, or when a person dies who chooses to reject God's plan of salvation, the person goes to Hades to live until the time of the great white throne judgment, which happens after Satan is thrown into the lake of fire at the conclusion of the first 1,000 years of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on this earth. Now, after that, so a person is living in Hades, then a person is actually restored to life again. Okay, so there's a first resurrection. And in Revelation chapter 6, it says, Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, blessed, happy to be envied and holy, spiritually whole of unimpaired innocence, improved virtue, is the person who takes part, shares in the first resurrection. Over them, the second death exerts no power or authority. But what about these people? What if you don't participate in the first resurrection? What if you transition after dying to Hades and you live there? Well, you are restored to life again at the time of the great white throne judgment at the conclusion of the millennial reign, but what happens? Let's stay with the same trajectory. Then you continue to live in eternal damnation. What's that? You say, well, wait a minute, research scientists, it was making sense, and now you use this language, eternal damnation. Well, what does it mean to be tormented day and night forever and ever in a fiery lake that burns with brimstone? Well, forever and ever means forever and ever. That's eternity, the eternities of eternities. And if someone is tormented, that sounds like damnation. That sounds horrible. That is nothing I want for any person. God doesn't want it for any person. If a person goes to Hades and ultimately the second death, that's in spite of God dying for the person, in spite of God doing everything in his power up to and including giving his own life, God manifesting in the flesh as a human being, being both God and human, Jesus Christ, and then dying so that you don't, so that I don't have to experience that second death. The only way to get to the new earth, don't be fooled by the new age philosophies. There's only one way to get to new earth. There is a singular qualification for getting on the new earth, which is membership in the royal race, which means that a person's name is recorded in the book of life because the person has accepted God's plan of salvation that existed at the time that the person dwelled on the earth. So you say, well, how do I make sure my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because remember, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, it says, and if anyone's name was not found recorded in the Book of Life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. So Acts 2:38. There's a book called Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. Now, what's the trajectory for those who participate in the first resurrection? That trajectory is living on the earth, having a role in the government of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, followed by continuity of life through the great white throne judgment. We are not participants as litigants in the great white throne judgment. In other words, the great white throne judgment is limited to individuals who did not participate in the first resurrection, with the exception of the Antichrist and the false prophet, who have already been destroyed with the second death. So they are already in the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. But every person who chose to remain in sin and under the dominion and inspiration of Satan, those individuals are restored to life again for the purposes of the great white throne judgment. But we do not participate in it as litigants. We are not judged as members of the royal race. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The great white throne judgment is judgment for those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, finally, how does this thing end? It ends with the new earth. The new earth prophecy is the last statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. It is exciting. It starts with verse 1 of chapter 21 and ends with verse 5. And it says in part, at the beginning, then I saw a new sky, heaven, and a new earth. And the former earth had passed away. I'm just reading parts of it. And again, why are we looking forward to the millennial reign and the subsequent new earth? Because Death shall be no more, neither shall there be anguish, sorrow, and mourning, nor grief, nor pain any more, for the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away. The millennial reign is the transition period from the former order of things. It's the wrapping up of that. It's the conclusion of it. It's bringing an end to the human experience and ushering in the beginning of the new earth. And on the new earth, Jesus Christ will live in Jerusalem and will serve as our temple. God will relocate his abode in heaven, bringing down the new Jerusalem, which he has created in heaven, merging that onto the new earth. And God himself will be with us on this new earth. In verse 22 of chapter 21, it says, I saw no temple in the city. This is on the new earth, talking about the new Jerusalem. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God omnipotent himself and the Lamb himself are its temple. Okay. Thank you for being with me and with us. Please join me again as I share more insights and I take your questions that come in by phone or by text about the book of Revelation. We'll be here again on Sunday at 12 noon Texas time. That's 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And next Tuesday again, sharing new insights and information about the millennial reign prophecy. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you, and until next time, friend, take care.